Great. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for having me. I am actually Prevention Institute. The organization I work for is in Oakland, but I've only lived in Oakland for about 6 months. I was born and raised in San Diego. So it's so hard that my name badge says Oakland here. I have a huge disconnect with my identity. But it's wonderful to be back, and I work on a project called Unity. And Unity is really about a collaborative approach to the prevention of youth violence. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I think when we think about collaboration, we've done it for long enough in the field that everyone kind of grumbles a little bit. It's something that we say we do, and it's hard, and there's a lot of examples of it just not working well, or we say we do it so we can get the money. So Unity is really about a collaborative approach, and we, Dr. Prather Stith from Harvard is one of our partners, and I use this quote: violence is not the problem of one neighborhood or group, and the response and solutions are not the responsibility of one sector of the community or one agency, professional group, or business. Coming together and owning this problem and the solutions are central. And so what we're trying to do with Unity is really look at what is the collaborative approach at the city level. We're saying this is not a neighborhood, this is not one community's issue, but if we're going to take this to the city, if we're looking at the issue in urban areas, how do we do this? There we go. So one of the pieces that I think are really big right now is that urban areas and cities are really striving to do this issue. On the one side right there is a political campaign that's actually rooted in violence, and we don't see that really too often. The issue of violence isn't something that comes up as much because the people that electability-wise, it's not always the biggest issue to run for. There's a lot of risk for political officials to stand up and take A, say there's a problem with violence, and B, I'm going to do something about it. We don't see that as often, but we're seeing this come up in ads. We know this is a big issue. This is a picture in Chicago in Ceasefire, a program that's really gaining some national prominence that has a collaborative approach. We also know that as violence comes up as a bigger and bigger issue, we're seeing some public health approaches getting some really broad attention. This is the New York Times Magazine. There's an amazing article by Alex Kotlowitz about urban violence from a public health approach. The second one is from John Hopkins, and it's a really interesting idea that people are really starting to look at, okay, what can we do as a public health approach? In the past, I think violence has been an issue that mayors and law enforcement get together on, and we're saying if you want to do prevention, mayors and law enforcement cannot be your collaboration. You have to start looking broader than that. And so one of the things that we say is public health is part of the solution. Renee and I talked recently, and one of the things he said is you can't blame this on public health. We cannot take on another issue. And I think that's one of the things I want to be really clear on today is that we're not saying that this is public health's problem. We're saying that when mayors and law enforcement get together, public health needs to be at the table because they know prevention. Right? One of the big issues we think, one of the reasons we think public health can be at the table is that we know that violence increases the risk for other poor health outcomes. When I said this is a topic gaining some really broad audience, this picture in the corner is a young man who was featured in Sports Illustrated's March issue that talked about physical activity, sports, is no longer a safe way to do youth development in urban areas because it exposes kids to risk. This is a young man who was doing football, was really active. That was his ticket out of the neighborhood. And he was caught in a shooting in Oakland near my home and no longer can play sports. That we can't keep the kids safe enough to get out of the neighborhood. We can't do these youth development projects complete enough. We can't bring them to scale enough that it's safe for the kids to be in the park. Right? And this is what this is really about. There's an example about women who have experienced intimate partner violence. We know the Folletti studies have shown that kids that experience these adverse childhood experiences have all sorts of negative health outcomes as things go along. One of the adverse childhood experiences that's not highlighted very often is having a parent removed from the home due to incarceration. And you think about the Childhood Defense Fund. It's not tough. Children, I was like, what am I, but that's not right. Children's Defense Fund just released an amazing report about incarceration. Their big part is the pipeline. And one of the things they said is 1 in 9 African Americans in this country is incarcerated at any given time. 1 in 9. And we look at the makeup of our urban communities, and what does that do to a community? Right? We know that's an adverse childhood experience leading to later chronic disease. So this is what we're saying. This is affecting our public health. We also know that public health addresses the health and safety of a population. So if we want to do prevention, which is really population-based, we have to be able to start looking broader than individuals. Individual work is important. Suppression, enforcement are important. But if you want to change a population like we've done with smallpox, syphilis, we've really done work at the population level, we really need to do a public health approach. And that's what public health, well, that's what public health knows. So violence is also the leading cause of injury, disability, and premature death. CDC has a new stat out that I've seen, and I haven't been able to find it on their website. I was just looking at it this weekend. But they said that urban violence is actually the number one cause of death. Homicide is the number one cause of death for urban youth. Number one. So I have to get that stat and put it into my presentation. I just found it the other day, and I haven't been able to make sure that it was get back to the real article. But we know that homicide is one of the leading causes of death. The other thing is that violence is a significant disparity. I mean, when you look at incarceration, when you look at all the different rates, we know that this is impacting some communities more than others to really detrimental effects. And so this is what we're proposing. We're proposing that if you're going to do violence prevention, that it's a population-based approach. You can't just arrest your way out of the solution one-on-one. You look at protective factors, you reduce risk, and again, it's a focus on prevention. Law enforcement is a huge part of this solution, but we cannot ask them to do prevention. We cannot ask them to do something that they're not explicitly tasked to do, especially under the budget constraints they're under. And so Unity has really tried to take these ideas that this is a violence prevention project, that we need to work with suppression, we need to pull people together, and we have a national initiative that we've been working on for the past 3 years. And here are our partners. So I work at Prevention Institute with Larry Cohen. Deborah Prothero-Smith at Harvard is one of our partners, and also Billy Weiss at UCLA. So the three groups have come together to really tackle this issue. We're funded by CDC and the California Wellness Foundation, and we have a consortium of about 500 people that we get together through webinars, through resource alerts, to really tackle this issue. We have six main activities that we're working on. One is the city assessment, so what's going on the ground. We have a peer network of cities working together. We do quite a bit of capacity building, and I'll talk more about why we do that. We have city efforts where we highlight what works. We talk about framing a lot. You know, how do we really talk about this issue to gain ground? And then we're working on national strategies. And I think I'm going to go into each of these a little bit. This, I think, is one of the key pieces of work we've been able to develop out of this project. We have the Unity assessment. This is through UCLA did this project where they talked to the four main, when we talk about collaboration, we're looking at these kind of four main leaders: city, mayor, police chief, public health director, and school superintendent. Everyone says, where's the community in this matrix, right? And community is absolutely key. When we talk about doing projects, we're really talking about community engagement, staffing and coalitions, and high-level leadership. And in a lot of communities, there's communities engaged, there's even a coalition. But the high-level leadership, the people that pull down the money, the people that stand up in front of the news cameras, this is a part that we're really missing in urban areas a lot of the time. And these people are ones that can make funds sustainable, that make those decisions about it, and can bring things to scale. So we have this group as a special focus, and we talked with them about what violence looks like. These are some of the findings. One of the big findings I wanted to highlight today was that public health in general is not at the table in these urban areas. And when we talked to public health folks, they said, well, not only are we not at the table, we're not sure what we would do at the table, right? And so this is really getting a feel for where we're at and what's going on in the cities. It's a wonderful amount of information because we were able to talk. The response rate we had for these leaders was off the roof. I think a 97% response rate for an hour-long phone call for a head city leader. And so we know that this is an important issue for them. And there's some great data. This is available on our website, and you can kind of look through it there. We also do city convenings. So this is one of our most recent city convenings where we had two people from 10 different urban areas came in up to our place in Oakland for a prioritization session. So we looked at different prevention strategies and we said, what are the most important? What do you have the most difficult time getting funded? And we came together around a specific issue for 2 days, and this was the result. So cities really prioritized specific certain strategies. And you can see, now this is a test for you. Here's your public health test, first one this morning. What are the categories? We have them in code. Anyone want to take a guess? It's primary, secondary, and tertiary prevention, right? So I'm an MSW. I understand the public health approach, and I love to argue about what's primary, what's secondary, what's tertiary. And when I talk to people in the community, they're looking at me like, are you kidding me? We don't talk about tertiary? What are you talking about? So we adopted this from some youth in Philadelphia that had come up with, no, this is upfront, in the thick, and in the aftermath. And I think it's a really clear way to understand strategies. The upfront, we need positive early care and education. We need parenting skills. We need youth leadership. When things are happening, when we're in the thick of it, we need mental health services. We need mentoring and coaching. We need conflict resolution. And in the aftermath of it, if you want us to heal, we need successful reentry and we need mental health services. Now, that's not to say those other pieces aren't important, but these are the things that the city says we cannot get funded, and when we get funded, they get cut. These are the things that make our communities thrive. These are the things that turn neighborhoods around. And so what we're trying to do is take this great knowledge they have in cities and lift it up. Lift it up to the state level, lift it up to those city leaders, and then take it to the national level. And part of what we're doing is saying, if you want stimulus, if you want our communities to rebound, you need to invest in them. And here are some ways that communities will thrive with these type of investments. We have a unity framework that we put together, and this is based on the assessment and the city convenings. And we talk about who, what are the partnerships that it need that you need to make this happen? What is the prevention strategies? Or what is prevention and what are the strategies? I'm going to pick up my pace here. Thank you. So this is on our website as well, and we go into in-depth. I really encourage you to think about signing up at preventioninstitute.org because we do webinars. They're free, and we go into in-depth kind of how this all works. We're working with different cities, so this is, you know, who does it take to prevent violence? And you can see we have the mayor, we have the youth, we have the feds coming in and partnering. What does it take? It takes responding to crisis. We helped in Cleveland. We've helped with LA doing their economic case through the Advancement Project. San Diego, we're active as well. And then what does it mean? How do you sustain these things? In Oakland, we have a great project with Measure Y that has state funding, or excuse me, city funding going into projects specifically for youth violence prevention. Philadelphia has some state projects, and Boston is really using data in interesting ways. So these are all cities that we consult with and support and help through Unity. To learn more about it, you can go to preventioninstitute.org. We're in it as a stage right now where we're connecting more closely with city leaders. So if you represent one of those city leaders or connected to or interested in getting Unity support for your city, let me know. You can do it through the website. But we'd love to keep in touch with you because this is really about building a movement to focus on prevention. This is about saying we cannot arrest our way out of this problem. It impacts everyone's health. We know that health is only going to be costing more and more. And this is really prevention. It's a solution to other entrenched problems. We have an amazing book. It's for sale in the exhibition area, and it's Prevention is Primary, and there's a chapter by Deborah Prother-Stith. She also has a book, Murder is No Accident. Both of those texts are just really amazing ways to kind of understand this issue if you're interested in it. Deborah is just a really gifted, gifted woman, and we're really honored to have her as part of Unity. And then we're really talking about economics right now. As everyone else is worried about economics, we are too. And we're trying to really think about, as people think about what is stimulus, you know, how do we bail out our economy, that investing in community health is part of it. So we're working on some documents, and we're working on doing some work at the national level and saying, you know, if you want to stimulate our economy, investing in jobs and investing in health are all part of these issues. And so we have some documents at our booth if you want to take a look. We'd love to kind of use APHA to get some momentum and get some of your thinking and be engaged on this issue. We're going to ask for people to kind of review it and think through it with us. So please feel free to stop by our website. It's right on our homepage right now. We really think this is an opportunity to get health back into communities. All right, I think that's it for me. Thank you so much. And please feel free to stop by our booth or give me an email sometime. I am Annie Lyles, and you can get to me at Annie@preventioninstitute.org. Thank you.